Yes, I might say I just talked today to Brother Bob Barnett. Dr. Barnett is going to give us the various things for Psalm 119, the various verses for our readings. He said he's no longer preaching there, but he's got a young man doing very well. The church is growing, and he's very glad for that.
Who's that?
Bob Stewart.
Brother
Barnett is one of our PBS men. And
Emeritus.
Vice President Emeritus.
I thought they would have been there for years, but get someone else, but he was... Everybody, you're talking
about that? Yeah, Bob Burnett, he's still there in the church, but he has a young man now, a pastor, okay. Doing good, doing well. Also, I'd like to say that different ones that we pray tonight for Randy and his wife, so he's decided, I heard from Emily tonight, he's rejected the surgery, they're going to have the surgery, but they nothing to do with that. So continue to pray for that situation. All right, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we stopped last time at verse number 2. Let's read just...
Galatians.
What is it?
Galatians chapter 2.
Oh, my. I thought it was 2 Corinthians. So that's Galatians.
Well, we used to be. We changed the Galatians recently.
What are we talking about?
Oh, that's right. Romans and 1 Corinthians is on Sunday. Okay. And on Thursday is Galatians. All right. Thursday, Galatians.
Well, you've been passing through Galatians for quite a while now.
Galatians
from
2.
One direction.
Okay, so Galatians 2:11 is where I find it, where to be. All right. Let's try to keep things straight. Galatians 2:11, did I say?
Yes.
Okay, 2:11. All right. Let's read verse 11, 12, and 13 together. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. But before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with a dissimulation. Okay, 11, 12, and 13, that's it, those are the three. Now, here's a problem with Peter, a lot of problems with Peter. Sunday after we come back to the Edinburgh, I'm going to speak on Peter's life, a number of verses. Here, this one, he was out of line. How was he out of line in this particular situation? And who rebuked him? Pastor Dan?
Paul stood in the face.
Paul was stood in the face. And what was wrong with what Peter did? What did he do that was wrong as far as Paul was concerned?
Excuse me.
Yes.
I can't figure out where we are.
Galatians 2 and verse 11.
I just don't know where we are with anything.
2:11, when Peter was come to Galatians, yes, to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. And then verse 12, it tells why was he to be blamed. Pastor Dan.
He was mixed up in his mind and following principles of the law.
All right.
And then the circumstance that he found himself in. He was going to use, he was vacillating between law and grace in his behavior, his activities.
That's right. And Paul said we shouldn't be under the law of Moses, and he should continue. Certain came from James. He ate with the Gentiles. Nothing wrong with that. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself from them of the circumcision. And so he was ambivalent in the law and grace, as Patrick Dan said. Then in verse number 13, what about the other Jews?
There's a hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we have here, this is the characteristic of the entire church of Galatia, that they're doing the same thing that Peter is doing. Law and grace, mingling the two together.
Yes.
And so we see here in verse 12, as far as the coming down and the feast, and they're separating themselves because they don't want to, and furthermore, why should they be really caring what the feast is about? Right? Because they're not under the law anymore. You know, they're afraid of the Jews, And so there he was dining and fellowshipping with the Gentiles, but all of a sudden the Jews come and he says, oh, I can't be with you anymore because what are these other Jews going to think? And so that's when he left them, temporarily.
Mm-hmm. And then in verse 13, what is true of other Jews as well in verse 13? What does the word dissembled mean? Dissembled.
This idea of being disguised of some sort.
Probably disguised and changing their ways and not.
I mean, perhaps even to the point of deception in terms of, but probably this way is that they're being disguised, you see, they're behaving, disguising the same way, they're acting the same way. The Jews are acting the same way as Peter. They were fine before, mm-hmm. some of them, but all of a sudden a certain company of Jews come. And then they all of a sudden change the way they're behaving.
And who else was deceived and dissembled in the same way in this verse 13?
The son of consolation.
All right. Named what?
Barnabas.
Barnabas was dissembled, also carried away. So Peter was behind this dissimulation and compromise, and Paul rebuked him. He should have been rebuked as well. Let's read verse number 14, 15, and 16 together. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? But we who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Is that three verses or two? That's three? Okay. So back in verse number 14. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, who's the they referred back to there? And so they did not walk uprightly. At 10?
Those that dissembled.
Those that dissembled, all right. Truth of the gospel, what did Paul say to Peter in verse 14? Apparently Peter was leading the crowd in the wrong way. What did Paul say to Peter? In verse 14, the last part, eh? Did you catch that?
He was trying to have a discussion with him about something. If you're living like a Gentile, then why are you making the Gentiles look like the Jews?
Right. So you ought to be straight. If you're a Jew, live as a Jew. But if you're a Christian, you should live as a Christian. And this, as you say, the book of Galatians is filled with the compromises between Judaism and Gentilism and the church and Christianity versus Judaism. And very important distinctions are made. Why compellest thou? So Peter was trounced and he was disobedient and blamed by Paul. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment around the world. Just say hello. Glad to hear from you. And then, yes, fine.
When you say Peter is trounced, he's
balled
out, is
that
what
he's balled out, yes, right.
Where is that?
Well, as he says, why, Paul in verse 14, he says, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest as the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So he's saying you're doing wrong, Peter. What you're doing is in error, see, folks. So he's blowing them out. Yes, back to that.
Also, back in verse 11, when Peter was coming to Antioch, I withstood him in the face because he was to be blamed, in verse mm-hmm. 11.
Right. So there was a trouncing, you might say, or a bawling out, or different things against the manner of practice that Peter had instead of being right in his practice. So that's...
Excuse me.
And then in verse 15, what What does Paul say he is of himself?
He's a Jew.
He's a Jew. Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles. That's what they are by nature. Then in verse 16, what is the knowledge here that is given of justification? What's the biblical idea of justification in verse 16? Yeah, back to that.
It's not by works.
Not by works, not by the works of the law, not by deeds, but by what? Yes.
It's not so Peter was trying to, in his pitch, he was actually acting out the fact that it was by works, by the fact of what mm-hmm. how he's behaving mm-hmm. in the previous few verses.
Right. Now what sort of a of is this, objective or subjective of Christ? Objective or subjective? Two different senses of preposition of?
Faith in, so it's the...
objective, right?
Right?
Faith in. So in other words, it's not Christ's faith, but it's faith in Christ, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves us. Believe in Jesus Christ, we're justified by the faith, again, in Christ, of Christ as the objective genitive, not by what? Not by what? In verse 16. Justified by faith, not by what?
It's not by the works of the law.
Works of the law. By the works of the law, no flesh. So it's got to be through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone that we can be justified, made, declared righteous before God. Questions at batbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment, glad to hear from you. Did we read 17 yet? Okay, let's read 17, 18, and 19 together. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Why verse 17? While we seek to justify to be justified by Christ, again, what does it mean to be justified? What's the definition of that theological term? And he has that in it? Okay.
Declared righteous.
Declared righteous, absolutely. Declared righteous. It's not by us, not by works, not by anything, but by genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Though to the law, dead to the law, let's see, in verse 17, justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Now, those that are genuinely justified by faith in Christ, do they still have sin? Yes, they do. There's no way to get around. So we have a sinful nature, we're two natures, sinful nature and a new nature, indwelling Holy Spirit. But when we seek to justify by Christ, as on sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin. What's the answer to that?
God forbid.
God forbid. Just because we have a sinful nature, now, some teach that that sinful nature can be wiped away. The people, holiness people, they should one way get that thing off. Are the holiness people correct in that, or are they incorrect?
No, they're wrong.
They're wrong in that. That sin nature can never go away. When we die, the sin nature is buried, and that's the end of it, but not before. So no flesh justified. And then in verse... Christ is not the minister of sin in verse number 17, that's for sure. And then in verse 18, we read 18, did we not?
Yes.
If I build the things which I destroy, what do you think that means? Build the things, I want to say, Tammy?
Build the law again.
Yes, he didn't want anything to do with the law. He's under the law to start with, the Lord saved him. I make myself a transgressor if I go into the law again, because I must destroy it. Yes, okay.
It's what the Hebrews were also trusting the law, and a lot of them in mm-hmm. the book of Hebrews kind of alludes to that. They were trusting the law as well to justify mm-hmm. them. And if they trust in the law, then they're falling from grace.
Falling from grace.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ can save them. Mm-hmm. They're trusting the law rather than mm-hmm. trusting Him.
Him and Him alone, that's right, absolutely. Did we read 19 yet?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're still...
Still 18?
No, I guess we're done with it, maybe.
Okay. Through the law, what does Paul say he is? I, through the law, am what? What does it mean? In verse 19. I, through the law, am dead to the law. And I'm living to God. What does that verse mean, do you think? Yeah, Bill.
Means that he can't keep the law.
All right.
He's dead to the law because he can't keep it.
All right. Ken?
Romans 7 talks about that. It uses illustration of the woman that is bound to her husband as long as the man, as long as her husband lives.
Mm-hmm.
But once he dies, then she is no longer bound by the law of her husband, so she's free to marry. So, I mean, the idea of being dead to the law, it has no effect on you.
Mm-hmm. Dead to the law, that I may live unto God. Now, if you live under the law, you're not living under God, right? He wants to be dead, though. In other words, the law of Moses should not be the agent, but it's what God says in His Word of the whole Scripture. Now we have a New Testament, no longer under the law, and many people try to put themselves under the law, especially these early Jews. So, live under God, under His leading and His guiding, His grace. Did we read 20 yet?
No.
Let's read 20, 21. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wonderful verse, Romans, Galatians 2:20. Crucified,
was it? 21
too? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I am crucified with Christ. In what sense is that the case? Yes, then.
Our sins were on the cross. Christ took them in His flesh on the cross.
Now what else? Crucified with Christ. How does God see that? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. How does God see that? Pastor Dan.
Christ died in our place. Vicarious. He died in our place for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
So the force behind Paul's thought here is, or behind this verse 20, he's crucified with Christ. Christ died on the cross. He took upon him the sin of the world, my sin, everyone's sin, past, present, future. So Paul is acknowledging that fact that he was with Christ. He was crucified with Christ. He's accepting the fact of what Christ's work on the cross was for him. Personal. Some people reject the fact of the death of Christ, and they want nothing to do with it, and so they're standing in their own sin, and not the righteousness of Christ.
And as God sees it, every genuine Christian who's ever born again and saved was right there with Christ at the crucifixion, dying with Him, buried with Him, raised with Him, seated with Him. As far as God is concerned, spiritually speaking, physically we weren't there at the cross, but as God sees us, we died with Christ, every son, anyone that's genuinely saved, buried, rose again. And Christ liveth in, Pastor Dan.
That's an interesting aspect, you know, when we have the seminal headship, when mankind was in Adam, when he sinned,
mm-hmm.
in the same way, those that have been redeemed were being in Christ or with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Here, verse 20.
Yes, they were. And then the life which I live in the flesh. How does Paul say he lives that life? And what does it mean? Say?
By faith.
Faith. Now again, the of objective genitive or subjective genitive? Objective or subjective? object of faith, earth, means faith in the Son of God. See, faith of is sometimes difficult to understand.
When you say object and subject, it just gets me mixed up.
Yes. In other words, the object, facing the object of Christ is the Son of God.
The faith is right in this.
It should be faith, like faith in the Son of God, we
right.
said, yeah.
Right.
But it's a genitive in the Greek, and so it's translated of faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does the word for mean?
Place.
In my place, as a substitute for me, died for me in my place. And did he die for all sinners?
Yes.
Yes, he did. In their place. Are all sinners therefore saved? No.
No.
Why?
If they have to trust him.
They have to trust him, they accept him and receive him as the one that did die in their place. But there was the offer made, provision was made, but acceptance must be by genuine faith in the provision that was made for them. As we've said many times before, we don't receive a gift until we receive it. You can have a gift offered, if you don't receive it, it's not yours. We've said many times before, $1 million up here, here it is, come and get it. The only one who gets it is the one that receives it. All the rest of the people don't have it. There's not $1 million up here, by the way. So this is a very good verse.
Then we won't come get it.
All come good, that's right. Then verse 21, what does it mean to frustrate? What does it mean in this context? In verse 21. Yes, Pat?
Confuse or make it more difficult.
Confuse, make it difficult, make it impossible to understand, make it complicated. The grace of God, what is the grace of God? What does that mean, grace? Your hands on that? Grace. Okay?
Well, in the first chapter, it talked about the gospel. And so, the contrast to the true gospel with another gospel. So, it would be a way to frustrate the grace of God.
All right.
The gift and grace would be the gift of God. And then you could say the gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
If
we work for salvation and for righteousness, is that God's grace? No. After we're saved, we try to work for the Lord and help the Lord and live for the Lord, but for salvation, don't frustrate, don't make it wrong, the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, what is truth? That's it.
The death of Christ was all in vain.
In vain was empty. It's a sad situation, is the case.
That's if.
If. But that's not the true case. Christ does come by faith in Christ. If it comes by the law, and it doesn't, Christ is dead in vain. All right, we'll stop right here, but let's read the first three verses of chapter 3 just as a background. We'll pick those up, Lord willing, next Thursday. Oh, foolish Galatians.
Who hath bewitched
you,
that
ye
should
not obey
the
truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set before, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are you foolish,
that
you have begun in the Spirit, and now made perfect by the flesh? I have the comments or questions they have on this section of Galatians.
I do have a question.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
do you remember what the doctor's appointments are this week for us?
Okay. I don't think any doctor's appointments are for us. It's all right.
Is this week over?
No, this is Thursday. Any other comments or questions that you might come in? All right, let's close.
I never know the answer,
I guess. The answer is no appointments. Let's close in word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for this book of Galatians. Thou art very clear in what thou dost teach concerning grace, giving us something we do not deserve, we do not work for, not under the law, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We thank thee for this. Help us to live for him who died in our place for us, that we might glorify him in our bodies, our spirits, and our souls, our whole lives. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.